Well, I would like to tell you a story. Now, every month our congregation talks about a different theme. Anybody remember what this month's theme is? Hope and fear. Thank you. Thank you. Thank goodness. All right, we got it. We got it. And since this is our intergenerational service, our all ages service, we're doing a lot of storytelling today. And I want to tell you a traditional Italian story, a very old Italian story about a boy named John. So, one day there was a little boy named John, and he was smaller than all the other boys his age, which made him feel kind of bad because sometimes kids are mean about stuff like that. So since John was a little embarrassed that he was so small, he liked to take all the dares the other boys dared him to do. He licked the head of a frog one day. He jumped over the creek when it was full of water and rushing very quickly, and he got his shoes all wet. One day, the boys had a really, really big dare for little John. They said, "We dare you to spend the night in the old mansion down the lane, but you have to stay there all night long. And if you come out in the morning and you stayed all night in the scary, empty old mansion, we'll never ask you to do another dare again." John felt like, well, I guess it would be worth it to not have to do these silly dares anymore and not lick any more frogs. So he said, okay, even though it was a very, very scary, dark old mansion. Now, what the boys forgot to tell John conveniently was that the mansion was haunted by a monster, a huge, huge monster. But they didn't mention that. They just said, you have to spend the night in the old mansion. So that night, John met the boys outside the big house, and they gave him some sausage and some bread and some hard candies to eat for his dinner, and they sent him in with just a candle because the mansion had been empty so long there was no electricity anymore, and it was very, very dark inside. The windows were so dusty, they were just crusted with dust, so not much light could come through. John went inside and he looked around, and the mansion was actually pretty cool. There were big tapestries on the wall, big pieces of beautiful cloth embroidered with different scenes from stories, and there were oil paintings, real paintings, not photos of paintings, and thick, thick carpet. And every time you took a step, the carpet would puff out a big puff of dust because it had been unwalked on for so long. John went in and he found the dining room and he sat down at a big old table and looked around and decided, well, he might as well eat his dinner. So he sat down in the dining room and started to eat. And he heard some rustling on the roof, and he didn't know what it was, but you know, sometimes you hear birds on the roof or leaves falling off trees. So he didn't really think anything about it. But soon the rustling got louder and louder and louder. And then he heard somebody yell, "Should I throw it?" And John was like, "I don't know what it is." But he was being very, very brave, he decided. He said, "Go ahead." And then there was a thump in the fireplace, and something landed, and dust flew up in the air. Well, first John thought, there's no way I'm going to go over and look at what that is. That could be anything at all. But then a lot of time passed, and you know how sometimes when things are scary at first, they get less scary as they go on, and they started to get kind of bored? So he's sitting there eating his dinner, and he was kind of bored, and okay, I'm going to go look and see what it is. It's probably nothing. And he went over, and he looked, and it was a leg. Now, the leg was really big. It was a huge leg made out of rock, but it looked just like a person's leg, but like at least twice as big as a person's leg. And it had a foot and everything. This leg, it had like jeans on and like a shoe, and it was this huge leg. He was like, well, that is very, very scary. I'm going back to the table, and I'm going to sit by the door and eat the rest of my dinner and hope this night is over soon. But soon, he heard another voice go, "Should I throw it?" Okay, I guess so. And so he threw it, funk, and there was a second leg in the fireplace. Well, this was followed by several more, should I throw it? And he said, okay. And soon there were two legs and two arms and a torso, but no head. So, finally, he heard the last voice and it said, should I throw it? Now, this was a voice he hadn't heard before. Should I throw it? And he said, okay. And a head came down the chimney and it was huge. It was this big. It was really, really big. And it was a head, but it was made out of rock. It was a rock head and it had a rock nose and rock eyes and a rock mouth and little rock ears. And the head landed at the bottom of the chimney, but since it was round, it just rolled around on the floor. When it finally stopped rolling around, it seemed to pull itself over to the body like there were magnets in it. Like there was a magnet in the body and a magnet in the head. They came together. They came together, and then the legs attached to the body and the arms attached to the body, and there was a huge man made out of rock in the dining room with this poor little boy, John. John was so scared that he sort of stopped being scared because he was so scared. He was in shock. He didn't know what to do. He thought if his eyes got open anymore, they would probably fall out of his head. He was so surprised. This had never happened before. This has never happened to me, certainly. This doesn't happen every day. The rock man said, hello. And John said, hi. I'm eating dinner in your house, and I was going to spend the night, but I won't if you don't want me to, because it looks like that you maybe don't want people to spend the night in your house. And the rock man said, that's okay. And he said, oh, thanks. Would you like some of my dinner? And the rock man said, he nodded, his big head. His head was so big, and it was made out of rock, and when his chin touched his chest, it made like a big rock hitting rock noise. It was very, very weird. Very weird. The rock man said, follow me, and gestured to John. And John said, I guess I should do what he says. He's a huge man made out of rocks. So he followed him, and they walked down the hallway with a candle. The rock man had a candle to lead the way, but he was so big that not much light went off of it, so John could just barely see the back of this giant. He followed him down the stairs into the cellar and into a pantry, and in the pantry, he pulled down plates and cups for them to use for their dinner. But John noticed all around him were bags full of coins, gold and silver coins. Now, John didn't have any money. Nobody in the village had any money. And he thought of all the times that he had gone to bed hungry with his tummy empty because they didn't have any food. And he thought of all the things those coins would buy. But the rock man had been so nice, and he knew he shouldn't steal. So he just ignored them, and they went back to the dining room and sat down at the table. Now, as soon as they sat down at the table and put their food on the table, the rock man suddenly grabbed John by the ankles and hung him upside down and shook his feet to see if he had stolen any coins, because they would fall out of his pockets. But John didn't have any coins. He didn't even have a penny, and so nothing fell out. And the monster said, well, that's the first time no one's stolen from me. When I walked past all those coins, I'm not sure what to do. So John said, well, you could put me down. So so he did, and he put John down, and they finished eating dinner, and then they played checkers until it was time to go to bed. Well, John wasn't that scared anymore, but just in case, before they went to sleep, he said, so you're not going to eat me or anything, right? And the rock man said, no, I don't like to eat little boys. And so he went to sleep. And the next day, he left the house, and all the other boys were so surprised that he hadn't been too scared to live in the house the whole night that they decided they would call him Brave John for the rest of his life. But John felt like a kinship with this rock man. He felt close to him then. He didn't want to just leave it there, even though he had, you know, conquered the other boys, and they weren't going to pick on him anymore. He didn't want to leave it there. So he went back to the house every night to have dinner with the monster and to help him clean up the house. And he cut the yard with a big scythe, the grass was like this tall. Have you ever seen grass that tall? It was really tall grass. So, yeah. So he had to cut the grass with a big knife, and he had to clean everything, and there was so much dust, and he and the monster cleaned the windows and shined them up. And John grew up this way, helping the monster clean for an hour or two every day after they had dinner together. And then when John was all grown up, the monster said, "Well, John, it looks like you've got this under control." And he shook his hand, and he walked out the front door, and he was never seen again. And John got to live in the big mansion with all of his family and all of his friends, and they weren't poor anymore. And that is the story of Brave John.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the story that we heard from Kate about Brave John. And the one part of the story that stuck out to me immediately was when John first hears from the ghost. And he hears someone saying from the rooftop, "Shall I throw it?" And he says, "Go ahead." "Okay." So why in the world would anyone ever say yes to that question? We know that he wasn't unafraid because his voice was shaking and he was nervous. He was afraid, but he didn't turn and run. Instead, he stood tall, and when he met this giant rock monster ghost being, he offered it food. So John had faced a lot of difficult things before this moment. He jumped in and did dangerous things to gain approval from other people so that they would accept him as a friend and equal. And while it's sad and a little bit cruel that his friends wouldn't just accept him for who he was just because, it seemed to have given John a sense of bravery and a habit of always saying, yes, I'll do that. He turned towards what was difficult, turned towards what was frightening, rather than running away from it. Now, when he offered, what this means to me is that he sees fear as a teacher. When he offered food to the monster, he may as well have been making a toast to his own fear. By the end of the story, the initial risk that John had taken had blossomed into a treasure, the mansion that he was given by the monster. And it not only benefited John, but all the people around him, his family and friends, who all got to benefit from what he had done initially. Now, obviously, not every fear needs to be confronted or said yes to in this same way. I don't think anyone should go out today and jump in the lion's cage or throw a rock at a beehive to show their bravery. But, and if you were to ever hear a voice shout, "Shall I throw it?" from the rooftop, I would recommend probably just running away, or at least asking, "Throw what?" before saying yes. But the problem is that we often lump many of the things that we fear into the same category, that this might kill me sort of feeling, when they don't really belong there. So bringing it back down to earth a little bit from the world of giant rock monsters, I saw a documentary this week about a music venue in Seattle called the Funhouse, which recently closed its doors for good. And the central figure in this place that hosted many, 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 many hundreds of shows over the last 10 years was a guy named Brian Foss. And at one part in the movie, he talks about his decision. He worked there at the time, but he had the opportunity to become an owner of the place. And he talks about his decision to do that. And see, he didn't have a lot of money, but he really wanted to have a share in this place and be able to control where it went and to ensure that it kept going on. And he felt he had been given many gifts being able to be there and had offered many other people gifts. So he wanted to make it happen, but he didn't have enough money. Now, he said he used to be the kind of person who would never try new things out of fear, but he'd had enough of that, and that he'd rather try and fail than always pass up opportunities that had some risk of failure. Essentially, he was becoming more afraid of not trying things than trying things out and having them turn out badly. So, in the movie, he tells a story about something he heard. Someone he heard had made their first movie, And when they asked in an interview, how did you afford to do this? They said, well, I just got a bunch of credit cards, maxed them all out, and hoped it would work. And he thought to himself, and he says, hey, I get all these credit card offers in the mail all the time, and I just throw them out. Maybe I'll just sign up for all of them, go to town, just use all the credit cards to buy this place. And the worst thing that could happen is I'd just be in debt for the rest of my life. But at least I could say I tried. And this got a lot of laughs from people just because of how casually he talked about, oh, I'll be in debt for the rest of my entire life, whatever. And it's silly to think about, but we do face a risk no matter what we choose to do. And for him, he realized he faced two risks, going into debt or living a more financially stable life with regrets. Now, while owing a bank money for the rest of your life is certainly not something to be taken lightly, and I'm sure the decision was probably not as easy for him to make as he made it out to be in retrospect, the attitude he had was a lot like Brave John's. If I don't say yes to life and take a chance, I will never know what could have happened. And this guy, Brian Foss, is by no means a rich man now, but he's not in debt. And much more importantly, he used the time that he had this place, that he worked at this place and owned it, he used it to create community. He gave thousands of musicians their first chance to play a show. He mentored many of the people that he worked with and made life better for those around him because of the risk that he took. His risk, much like Brave John's risk, ended up touching many people's lives for the better. So when you find yourself in a situation where you have to face monsters of fear or doubt, giants that make you want to run away from the situation at hand, it can be helpful to call upon the times in the past when you have said yes. You can think of these as your helpers. They don't have to be big dramatic things like jumping over a canyon or running into a burning building to save a baby. They can be anything that you've been afraid to do, but did it anyways, and found that you came out better for it afterward. Maybe it was trying a new food or a new sport. Maybe it was asking somebody out on a date, even though your knees were shaking. Maybe it was giving someone in need more than you felt comfortable with at the time. So right now, we're going to take a few minutes to write or draw in silence one or more of your own personal helpers so that everyone can leave here today with a reminder that while facing your fear is difficult, it can be a valuable experience and probably has been for you in the past. If you have a wallet, these are business card size, so you can just plop it in there until a rainy day or just discover it later on when you forgot about it. So to do this, we will need a few helpers. If there's any kids that would like, it would be so helpful if you could go back there and see Laura. She's got four boxes of pencils and cards, and you could go up and down these aisles and pass them out to people who need them. And I will ring the bell when we're about to move on. May you all find the treasures lurking in frightening places in your lives. And may you all please return your pens and pencils.